Drew, is that you?
Open up.
What are you doing in the backyard?
Open up.
All right. First, you got to do the truffle shuffle. I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive, our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
Kind of excited about this one.
Yeah?
Well, when I was thinking about it after we picked it, I thought it's kind of a mystical place, the backyard, a spiritual place. Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know what I like about it?
What? I mean, there's a lot that I like about it, but like along those lines, that spiritual... you know, I feel like, so your front yard, this is kind of a weird inversion, but so the front yard, right,
yeah,
has no boundaries typically. Like one lawn blends into another, yeah, right?
In many cases.
In a typical neighborhood or a typical streetscape.
But
for the most part, it's like, you know, I mean, you have driveways and stuff breaking it up, but like you've got, there aren't as many specific boundaries.
It isn't unusual for there to be no boundaries.
Yeah.
No physical boundaries in a front yard.
But it's fairly common to find them in backyards. And usually expected. Yet, I think of the front yard as being so limited and confined. But the backyard seems like, even if it's hemmed in on all sides, it seems like you have like limitless potential back there.
Yeah. And you're free back there.
Yeah.
Despite being boxed in.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I guess maybe it's because it's sort of, you spend a lot, well, not everyone does, but many people spend a lot of their childhood in a backyard if they have one. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't have one, you know, in a friend's backyard.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about it at the time, but it was always interesting to see a friend's backyard.
Yeah.
You know, and see what they had going on there. Because the backyard was and is a place that could hold some really great stuff. Like because that's where people put their recreational things, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of which usually a kid loves.
Yeah.
And so you'd go to your friend's house and you're like, who knows what they got in their backyard? Maybe they got a trampoline back there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, and it's like not that space is not governed by the same rules that the rest of the house is. Like,
yeah.
I mean, your friend's bedroom might be sort of left to their own devices. Like, they can do whatever they want there. But you don't go into your friend's house thinking, like, oh, well, I bet their kitchen is awesome. You know, like, their parents designed their kitchen.
Right.
You know, it's... and their parents, or my friend's parents, dumb. No, they. that's not a space that a kid typically has much sway over.
Yeah,
but in the backyard, sort of all bets are off. You know,
the kid has a lot of sway in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things in the backyard are for the kid. Like people buy houses with backyards, with kids in mind.
That's right, or dogs.
Or dogs.
Which are almost as awesome as
Yeah, there kids. Might be an animal back there.
Yeah.
Or a shed.
Oh.
Right?
I don't think I've ever seen anybody get so excited about the mention of a shed.
Well, you know of my adventures with the haunted shed. My friend's haunted shed.
That's such a great phrase. My friend's haunted shed.
So it takes on a whole life of its own, you know, and you could spend hours out there, and there was always, I made full complete use. We had a big backyard,
mm-hmm.
admittedly. So I had a lot of room to sort of make use of it. And we had a swing set, you know, like a play set back there. We had a sandbox at one point. My mom had a garden, like a flower garden. Eventually they put in a horseshoe, the game horseshoes.
Oh yeah. A game of horseshoes.
Tittlesee, tittlesee. We had that. And these things weren't all at the same time. Generally, like it was the place, the swing set was there for most of my life at that house. But the sandbox came and went, and the horseshoes were put in, and then sort of after a while we didn't use them anymore. But you know, it was kind of a hassle to get rid of them. In fact, only very recently was I made to pull the concrete blocks out of the ground to remove them. My dad was like, "I need you to come over and take care of these," and I like they were. I mean, it's stupid to say because it's concrete, but they were ridiculously heavy. Like, I really had to put everything into it. But yeah, now they're sitting out there, just sort of unearthed, exhumed in a way,
like the bones.
Yeah.
Swing set.
And my dog was in the backyard growing up,
of course.
And I may have talked about it before, but one thing I used to do with my dog Ginger. She looked kind of like a wolf. Mm-hmm. Actually, she looked a lot like a wolf. And I would go back there and I would pretend that I was like a forest person, like that I lived in the forest with my wolf. And I literally would just like walk around because Ginger would just follow me. And so
like
I'd
a
walk.
Good dog.
Yeah, I'd walk around with her at my
like
side.
A good wolf.
Yeah. And pretend that I was like, you know. Because there were a lot of trees back there too, so it was easy for me to imagine that. But we never had a pool. That was always the one thing. There were two things I always wanted. And I'm not complaining here because I had a great backyard. Mm-hmm. Just want to make that clear. But what I always wanted was a pool, like everyone, right? Everyone wanted a pool. And or a trampoline. I feel like the trampoline is like it's like the best thing to have in your backyard.
There's a certain cachet to having a trampoline in your backyard.
It's not, because like a pool's great, but like a pool is expected almost. You know, like you wouldn't like be like, oh, you know, whoa, a pool.
Yeah,
like,
it's not like a zinger in
the way
that.
It's not the way
that
you see a trampoline, you're like, oh my God, a trampoline.
Well, and then like the pool can be like, I feel like the pool can be co-opted, you know, like, you know, the pool can exist for fun, but it can also
like
be
someone
like.
Someone might be in there just cleaning the sides.
Walking around
right?
with a rag, just wiping down the sides of the pool. Yeah. And that's a sad, sad thing.
Yeah.
But then the trampoline.
Some dude might be trimming a tree above the pool.
But the trampoline doesn't. I mean, there is nothing like pedestrian about a trampoline.
Yeah.
Like it exists. Everything about it is like whimsy and awesome.
And no one's going to be on a trampoline that isn't there for jumping. Do
you
know what I mean?
Like, you don't go like lie on the trampoline and read. You know? You don't use it as a hammock or, you know.
No one's crawling around the perimeter cleaning off the springs, right? Everyone's there for the same reason.
Right. They want to jump.
Yeah, and they want to
make
jump
themselves
high.
Sick jumping.
They want to try to do flips.
Oh yeah.
Did you ever do that thing where you and a friend would be on there and they
and you're like seesawing?
Yeah, sort you're trying of, to push, you know, slingshot each other up higher.
Yeah.
Just through you had to get the timing right.
Yeah. Yeah, it had to literally be like
no one can see what we're doing. we're moving our hands.
Imagine, if you will.
Imagine that we take your hand. You can do it with us. Take your right hand. And, well, take both your hands. Hold them up in front of you so that your thumbs are facing you.
So you're like doing a fish was this big kind of gesture. Yeah.
And then raise your right hand up and lower your left hand, okay? Mm-hmm. And now imagine that your hands are kids on a trampoline, and the right hand's going to drop and hit the trampoline at such a moment that it launches the left hand up. And then you got to get that, go back and forth and get that rhythm going that sends each person up higher.
It's kind of like your hands are pong paddles.
Yeah, perfect. And they're going at an inverse to each other's movement.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Ping or pong paddles.
Pong paddle.
Pong.
Make your hands pong paddle.
We should have just started there. But that was something that, and it was hard to achieve. I don't know if you ever tried that.
I knew about it. I mean, I think I maybe like you're talking about the actual act of bouncing somebody else off.
Yeah, no, not off, but up.
But up, yeah. I mean, I did it every now and then. That was not my go-to thing. My go-to thing was to like jump up off my feet and land as far back on my back as I could without like endangering my neck.
Oh man.
So I would like, it was almost like I was sort of like a pancake being flipped.
Yeah. That was fun. It was fun to land on your back and then come back up to your feet.
Uh-huh. Or onto your stomach. If you could do like a full revolution over onto your stomach and then land like that.
Yeah.
You could put your arms out like you're Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
God. When I was a kid, I can't remember where this happened, but I was somewhere with a trampoline, and I think I didn't know the kids who owned the trampoline, but I knew someone who knew them. Mm-hmm. So we were all over there jumping on the trampoline.
Like 3 degrees removed from that trampoline.
Yeah, exactly. But everyone was welcoming. You know, there wasn't like, don't get on my trampoline. Everyone was allowed on the trampoline.
What if that's what happened? Hey, kid. What if that greeted you when you got there?
I'm super excited.
Your friend's like, yeah, man, we're going to go to this guy's house. He's got a trampoline.
Come on, Drew, let's go. Yeah, I know him.
Oh, man, I know him.
Well, yeah. Do I know him? No.
No, but don't worry about it. He's cool. You're with me, man. I got you.
Hey,
I'll back you up.
Hey, Joey.
This is my friend Drew.
We're going to jump on a trampoline.
Don't get on my trampoline. He doesn't even say hi to you. He knows, right?
And he's on the trampoline.
He knows. Yeah.
He's up and down on the trampoline as he says it.
I like the idea that
there's no joy in his face. Like you walk into the backyard and there's this one kid in the center of the trampoline jumping up and down, completely joyless. And he turns. Is this like
his arms are folded over his chest?
He's like, the one kid's like, Joey, hey man, hey. Hey, I brought my buddy Drew to jump.
Don't jump on my trampoline.
And you can picture his hair, so he's like going up as he says that.
And in the background, there's the.
He also does it. At one point during that, he goes into a sitting position and bounces once and then back onto his feet. Pack it up, pack it in, let me begin. I came to win, battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever slack up, punk, you better back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole crew will act up. Get up, stand up, come on, throw your hands up if you got the feeling. Jump up, touch the ceiling, monstrous or funk flow. Someone's fucking junk, yo, I'll bust them in the eye. And then I'll take the punks out, feeling funky. Amps in the trunk and I got more rhymes than this cops at a Dunkin' Donut shop. Sure enough, I got props from the kids on the hill with my mom and my pops. I came to get down. So get down your seat and jump around. So, I was like 3 degrees removed from this trampoline, but everyone was welcoming, luckily. And there was one kid there, I think he was a lot older than us, and he was a very large kid, like, you know, rotund gentleman. And I remember this so vividly, and it probably is exaggerated in my head, but he he jumped onto the trampoline. I think they had like a, I'm trying to think of how he did this. Like, I think maybe they had something set up next to the trampoline so he could jump off of it onto the trampoline itself.
Huh.
Cause he jumped onto it and he essentially did like a cannonball onto the trampoline.
Oh, wow.
And like the thing, it went all, like he touched the ground.
Oh.
You know, like not in a dangerous way, but just like it went, it like, I was amazed. I was like, oh my God, you know.
Testing the boundaries of elasticity.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, launched him up. And I just remember thinking that he was, like, he seemed really proud of himself, you know. And I was just like, man, that I want to see that happen again. And I've never seen it happen again.
Huh.
But it was, it looked so unnatural for something to bend like that. like it was crazy. It looked like a funnel, you know?
Wow.
It was nuts.
That is deep. I feel like I've seen footage of a trampoline breaking on somebody.
There's tons of that, right?
I mean, I guess so. It never happened to me. The worst thing that ever happened to me, well, and actually this didn't even happen to me. The worst thing that ever happened to me was that I like jumped on a trampoline right after dinner one time,
mm-hmm.
ran outside, you know,
where were you? Where was this?
This was actually not a backyard trampoline. This was at like a, it was like a campground kind of thing. So like I'm in the like dining hall and I just like wolf all my food down, you know,
because you want to get out there.
I want to get on the trampoline. Yeah.
While there's like, no one there, ostensibly.
Exactly. Right? I want the trampoline to myself and I need to get out there before it gets dark.
Yeah.
So I run out there after eating and immediately proceed to just bounce aggressively on the trampoline.
Get the most out of it. You're a complete opposite of the kid that we were just talking about.
I'm like moving my arms in every direction.
An incredible amount of emotion in your face.
Yes. I'm elated.
Yeah.
And I'm like making it known that I'm elated.
You're like screaming.
And probably like 20 minutes max I get on that trampoline before like my stomach muscles just start bending around themselves.
Oh,
and
man.
I spent like the whole night doubled over in pain.
You didn't throw up?
I didn't. No, I never got like nauseous or anything. I just got like really contracted.
Wow.
Inside. Huh. It was a lot of pain.
You twisted your insides.
I did.
You trampoline.
Well, they probably just got like out of sorts as they kept bouncing.
Yeah, yeah. They went all out of order.
Yeah, like one landed on the other one.
Yeah, then your heart's like under your lung. That might already be the case. But you know what I'm saying.
Right. It was in a different way.
Yeah.
But the worst thing that I ever saw happen was a kid on, this was on a backyard one, where a kid got too close to the edge.
Oh, yeah.
On the downfall, you know?
Yeah.
So he like jumped up and kind of made an A shape toward the edge of the trampoline. You know, he was sort of in the center. And he jumped, and he went at an angle toward the edge of the trampoline.
He jumped diagonally.
Yeah, yeah. And when he came down diagonally,
oh, okay.
His foot
so
got,
he jumped up. It was as though he was jumping in an A,
yeah.
In an upside-down V.
Yes.
There's no crossbar.
Right.
But he, like, jumped up, and then, like,
he jumped up at, like, a 45-degree angle, and then came down at a 45-degree angle.
But the opposite 45 degrees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Picture in your mind.
Imagine a compass. You want to draw a perfect
picture
circle.
Picture the asteroids ship from the video game.
Yes, yes.
I'm trying to keep the theme going here.
Yeah, so he came down and like one of his feet hit the trampoline surface.
Oh, no, yeah.
But the other one went through that little teeny tiny wedge between the springs.
Yeah.
And so he was like,
so did like the one that hit the trampoline like go flying? Did it try to send him further?
No, it actually sort of slid out, and it's actually a good thing that it did slide out, because if he could have like really messed up his leg if it hadn't. But,
wow!
So it had some give, but he ended up doing like sort of this, like he went from jumping 45 degrees to like landing 90 degrees, his legs apart 90 degrees.
There's such great potential for like body shapes.
Oh, serious.
Like, I'm really enjoying imagining this kid jumping at a 45-degree angle and pivoting midair to the other angle. Because I could see him just being, like, his arms down at his side, you know?
Yeah.
and like sailing up and then swinging his legs out and his back, sending his head back so that he comes down the other way.
And I think there wasn't any real sense of what was happening until it was too late, you know? Mm-hmm. And those last few seconds, like everybody who was watching knew what was about to happen. And he knew what was about to happen. But none of us felt like capable of doing anything about it. So there's that that moment of beautiful horror when he's just about to land and he realizes what's happening.
In high school, for one of my classes, I can't remember which one, we had to make a movie trailer. It may have been a film production class.
It was a radio class.
And we had to make a movie trailer, and The Matrix, I think The Matrix had just come out. So this is like 99. And so we're like, we'll make a trailer to the sequel, which, you know, at that point there wasn't one.
Right.
And so it was me and like three other kids. And the trailer is exceptional for many reasons. But we were like trying to figure out how to get that, you know, Matrix look into the fights, you know, like the crazy sort of
airborne kind of. Flying,
and one of the people in the group had a trampoline, and so we thought, well, why don't we film ourselves, you know, quote unquote, fighting on the trampoline? And what's really great is that I was one of the agents, and you know, I didn't have any like, because they wear those suits, I had nothing like that. And so I wore khakis and a white t-shirt. That was my best, the best I could do. And then one of the girls in the group, she had this idea that when you hear it, you're like, oh my God, this is absurd. But then it worked extremely well on camera. Cause she was Trinity, and Trinity wears those like, those pants that are like shiny.
Oh yeah. They're like leather.
Yeah. Kinda. So we needed to replicate that. So she showed up to the shoot with pants that she had covered in trash bags. So she had like cut a trash bag apart and wrapped it around each leg. And it looked so bad, you know. We're like, this is absurd, but you know, we didn't, you know, it's like whatever. It's a high school thing.
Right.
Doesn't matter if it looks dumb. But in the end, it looked great, like on camera.
Like that's the
it
one
was
thing
exceptional.
That people talk about.
But
like, well, the choreography of the fights was left me wanting. But man, the shiny pants were convincing.
They were really convincing. So we did this at night. It was a night shoot for the trampoline because we figured that'll, you know, kind of mask that it's on a trampoline. And so each of us, first, we just in turn kind of got up on the trampoline and did various things that we thought might look good. And then we had a couple of things where two of us were up there pretending to fight. And I was the one who was going to cut the footage later. And my method for editing was I had the camcorder and a VCR. And I would play the camcorder and record on the VCR, you know, to get like
the proper sequence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the VCR we had at the time, I figured out that you could reverse the footage. It would play backwards.
Wow.
Like it had a little dial that was almost like rewind, but it was clear when you did it. Like it didn't garble the image.
Wow.
And so I was sort of playing around with that, with the footage, just because I would do this all the time, too, because I was fascinated by
just
how things
play things
backwards.
Backwards.
So I did that with this footage, and I realized the stuff on the trampoline looked really weird and out, like didn't look natural, the same way The Matrix didn't when it was backwards. And so I was like, I'm going to record all this stuff going backwards. And so there's some pretty hilarious footage of me where I did this kick, like I did a thing where I think I was trying to accomplish a roundhouse kick in the air, but I land on my side. You know, like I do the kick and I don't land on my feet. I just fall. And of course it looks really stupid, but I reverse it and it looks like I'm jumping from the ground into a kick and then landing on my feet.
That's awesome.
And it's pretty, I might be able to find that. It's somewhere, but it is,
I mean, yeah, that's a pretty genius approach.
Yeah. I know.
Did you guys win best special effects?
There were no awards. But that was a backyard trampoline that facilitated that trailer.
See, people think they're just for fun.
Yeah, but you can do
like, constructive things.
Exactly,
with
you can make a living.
Yeah.
It was always, you know, you mentioned before that you were at camp or whatever, mm-hmm. at a campground, and you're like, I got to get to that trampoline. Mm-hmm. And the only thing better than jumping on a trampoline with your friends was jumping on a trampoline alone.
Oh, yeah. When you are the master.
Because you had the whole thing, and you could sort of go crazy.
Yeah.
And you could try things without fear of looking like an idiot, right? Which I very rarely had any... I don't think I ever had the luxury of having a trampoline to myself. Mm-hmm. I do remember a friend of mine, they had a farm, and there was a trampoline at the farm, and we spent the night on the trampoline. Like a bunch of us friends had gone to this kid's farm, and we stayed on in sleeping bags out on the trampoline.
Did you bounce all night?
We bounced for a while. Like we bounced until we drop. Yeah. Yeah, we get
in
our
sleeping bags and you just keep
until you fall asleep.
Eventually, one of you falls by the wayside, falls asleep, and then there are four. And
I feel like a couple people in the middle of the night went inside and later told us it was because they thought they heard a wolf. And it's like, well, why didn't you wake us
up? And you
up?
Were like, I'm a forest person. I'm not afraid of the wolf.
Yeah, I'll go walk with them. Oh man. Oh. Trampolines are where it's at.
That is the
pinnacle of backyard backyardism,
yeah.
I think. Right.
Well, if there is anything that challenges the throne of the trampoline, it is probably like the clubhouse, treehouse.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. But here's the problem with the clubhouse/treehouse. Or why it doesn't win, in my opinion, is that there's so much variation between one, you know, like from one treehouse to another. Mm-hmm. It could be great. It could be no good.
Right.
You know, like some treehouses are literally a couple planks across two branches, you know.
Yeah.
And some treehouses are full-fledged, like, houses.
Yeah, they have, like, winding staircases and
whereas trampolines,
stone columns.
You have a fairly consistent approach.
That's fair.
I mean, there can definitely be bad trampolines.
There are different dimensions, but yeah, ultimately the trampoline is a trampoline.
Like a trampoline gets to a point where you're not going to get on it. Like it's a broken trampoline. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot more gradations of treehouse to where you're like, well, I'll get up on there.
Yeah.
It's safe, but it's not going to be fun.
Right. I'll do it, but grudgingly.
Whereas,
you're that kid.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like very happy as they climb, and he's
just straight faced. But with the trampoline, like if you're not going to get on, it's because it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's either broken or working, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's an either or proposition.
I don't, you know, I only knew one kid who had a treehouse, and it was boring. Like, I think the problem is like. I think as a kid, first for whatever reason, probably from movies, TV, whatever, you get this mythical understanding of what a treehouse should be. Like if you watched Punky Brewster growing up, right? Like you have, like treehouses have elevators and you know rope ladders, and they're awesome, and there's stuff in there.
Yeah, that's like impossible to get up there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the Monster Squad, treehouse with the how does the dog get up in the treehouse?
And then you get in one. I don't know if this was your experience or if you've ever been in one, but my friend had one, and I got up in there. I was like, this is so boring. Like, it's just a wooden room in a tree. Like, there's nothing to do up here.
Yeah, you The storyline, the conflict of the movie setting, I think, is it's a little undervalued when you're a kid and you see those treehouse scenes.
Well,
because whenever, like in movie settings, like the treehouse is either like it's a sanctuary or there's important stuff happening there.
Yeah, groups are meeting.
Yeah, yeah. There's something you do there that you can't do in your house, right? But in actuality, a treehouse is, like you say, it's just another room. It just happens to be up in the tree, and it's further away from the soda that's in the fridge. It's further away from the bathroom. There's no electricity. Yeah. There's nothing to plug your Nintendo into. So it has none of the advantages of being in the house.
Yeah,
but and it doesn't have any real. Pluses
it has
beyond
like
that, other than
5 minutes of awesomeness to it, right?
Yeah,
like climbing.
There's a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah,
like, you know,
you climb
up
it,
there.
You're up. Yeah, all right, and then you sit there. What should we do? And unlike a trampoline, it's not more fun when it's just you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is actually.
Could be. Depends what you want to do.
Again, it's a.
You could read in a treehouse,
yeah,
like
you
know.
You could read on a trampoline.
I bet that kid does.
Yeah.
Hates the book. Hates everything he reads up there, too.
Have you ever been up in a treehouse?
Yeah, not anything like super extensive, mm-hmm. but I've been to a couple. I actually tried to build a treehouse one time.
Really?
Well, sort of. I went to, I was at a friend's house, and he actually had like a, he didn't have a very bound backyard, like mm-hmm. a really well-defined plot of land that was exclusively his. His house and a couple of others all backed up to this sort of communal forestry area.
Yeah.
Or it looked communal. My understanding was that his dad actually owned all of that land.
Okay.
So we felt, you know, pretty confident walking around in there.
Yeah.
And like the first time I went over there, we walk out of the woods, and of course the first thing I think to myself is, oh, we need to build a treehouse. Because look at all these trees, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all trees are good for when you're a kid, is building treehouses. So I tell them this, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, good idea. And we get, you know, we walk around for a little while, and we collect boards and stuff.
From where?
Just, you know, I mean, we're basically collecting, like, twigs that happen to be, like, large enough that we think they could make a wall, right? And
this is so amazing.
Well, it gets better because we collect maybe, like, a dozen of these things.
Yeah.
And we bring them to this like central location, and we're like, okay, this is where we'll build it, and then we'll take it up into the trees.
Right.
Never like really thinking about how are we going to lift a fully formed treehouse into the trees, but that didn't matter because we stack up these things. We start to build a wall. I think we placed like three pieces of wood on top of each other.
Okay.
And then somebody says something like, "Hey, what's that?" And everybody immediately drops the wood and runs over to see what the kid's looking at, which, by the way, turned out to be a condom. But but at that point, everybody sort of abandoned the treehouse idea.
Wow.
We were, like, distracted, and then we were like, hey, let's go inside.
Yeah.
So we didn't build it.
So you've never been in one?
No, I have. I'm trying to think where it was. I was pretty young at the time, and it wasn't a very elaborate treehouse. You know, it was basically like unfinished wood planks that had been constructed. I mean, it was well made, but it wasn't like fun or anything.
I think the one of the things that is perhaps worse than the treehouse, not to say the treehouse is bad, but like what is more disappointing potentially are those play sets that have a little treehouse-esque thing.
Those like Fisher Price type things?
Yeah, or even like a swing set. You know, it's just it'll have
Has that little cubby.
Like it's
area.
Supposed to be a tree house.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, that's so fake. This is not we're not even in a tree. Like at least the tree house is in a tree. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Anyone can get in this. Plus it's like basically at your dad's, you know, head level.
Right. You climb up there and you think, yeah, I'm on top of the world. Yeah. And you look out and he's
your
like,
your dad's looking down at you. Is it fun? I love it. Are you standing on something?
He's like,
I'm crouching.
I'm cleaning. He's walking around the treehouse, wiping down the
sun. Yeah. Knock it off, Dad.
You're ruining it.
There's some guy who needs to clear the tree away that the treehouse is in. Oh, shit.
Am I loud and clear, or am I breaking up? Am I still your charm, or am I just bad luck? Are we getting closer, or are we just getting more lost? I'll show you mine if you show me yours first. Let's compare scars, I'll tell you whose is worse. Let's unwrite these pages and replace them with our own words. We live on front porches and swing life away. We get by just fine here on minimum wage. If love is a labor, I'll slave till the end. I'll cross these streets until you hold my hand. I've been here so long, think that it's time to move.
The sort of the perennial, the item that is in nearly every backyard, maybe I shouldn't say that, but well, the thing that you most expect to find, I think, if you go into a backyard, if you're going to find anything, is mm-hmm. a swing set.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like in a backyard, if you're about to walk out to a backyard and you have to guess like what's in the backyard.
Mm-hmm. Somebody tells you there's one thing back there.
You're going to guess swing set.
Yeah. Or shed. Right?
Or shed. Haunted shed.
Yeah.
Haunted shed? No. Haunted swing set.
Ooh.
The swing set, there's your very standard just swings, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, even more rudimentary than that, you have like just a tire swing or something hanging from a tree.
You know, and you say that's rudimentary, but it's better than a swing set in a lot of cases, because you get a full sort of like not just back and forth, right? Like you have all sorts of play.
You can pivot in any direction.
And it's dangerous and it hurts to sit in. You ever,
your feet get caught up in their thing?
Did you ever feel that way about the tire swing? Like it's uncomfortable and it's awkward to sit in.
It is. I always felt like I was going to fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also hurts.
Yeah.
But they're fun.
But the swing set can be painful too. If you get those hard plastic or fiberglass seats that are designed for like a football to sit on.
Yeah.
You know, they're like the width of two things of bubble tape.
The bubble tape.
I don't know.
Bubble tape. What an incredible unit of measurement. Especially because like bubble tape can get really long.
Yeah, but not the tape, just the container.
Right, okay. How long would you say it is? It's like five containers of bubble tape long? We all have that in our head, right? The size of a bubble tape container. You know, when we were kids, that was when they started making everything safe, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I think we lived in the crossover period where... Mm-hmm. For a while, nothing was safe. Like, they were still okay with things being unsafe.
Everything was dangerous.
Yeah.
And then...
There was leftover dangerous stuff for us to play on. And then they started making everything safe.
Suddenly, you had to have those bright orange caps on your toy guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so when we got a swing set in the backyard, we had sort of I wouldn't say a deluxe model, but it was like a step up from just the swings. Mm-hmm. So it had two swings, and it had that awesome, but I feel underutilized swing where it was like there were two seats on it, and you sat on it and you faced the other person, and you'd swing back and forth.
Yes.
And it was fun. Like, you could get going really high on that thing.
I used to always want that to be on a stick and just spin around like a carousel.
Yeah, sure.
But I can never really I never got into the whole, I'm staring at this person.
Oh, you got to get
into it. Up in the air. I'm moving up in the air. We're now that I think about it, it kind of reminds me of that Buccaneer style.
Exactly. You could put a
ride
cup
at Six
of water in the middle of it. It wouldn't fall over.
Would you yell at the other person when, like, when you were up in the air? Would you be like,
Yeah, now you yell. It also had a slide, and it had monkey bars. And then the best thing on it, though, was the thing that was probably put there for the parents, and it was a swinging, like, bench.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was the best swing on there. Like, I would get on that thing, and because you could, I think you, it was a lot more stable than a swing. Mm-hmm. So you'd, like, sit in it, or at least what I would do is sit in it and hold on to the little armrests, and I'd just kick off the ground as hard as I could. And, you know, each time I'd pass by the ground, I'd kick again, and I could get that thing going really high.
Higher than, like, a regular swing?
It felt like it. Probably not, but it felt like it.
Well, that's the important part.
It was a different type of exertion, because the swing, you know, you're kicking back and forth, and it's another thing, just like the trampoline, where you have to get the rhythm right.
Because
if you kick out at the wrong time, you're not going to get
Your feet
further.
Get caught up on the dirt or whatever.
And it was easier for me to sort of find that rhythm with the bench.
Huh.
The swing, but I was, the reason I brought up the safety thing was because the swings, the chains had that, like, plastic over them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or rubber.
So that you couldn't get your fingers caught.
Yeah,
in the,
yeah.
Yeah.
And
which I did, actually. Mine did not have, the swing set that I grew up with did not have the...
Oh, you got your fingers cut?
Yeah. Oh, I would like, grab the chain, and then, like, as it moved, you know,
you
the...
You never learned.
No, I just kept doing it.
It's
kept
fun.
Getting
ow!
It.
It's fun!
Ow!
It's like a zip line again.
I come
over
in,
again.
Yeah, my hands are covered in blood.
It was fun.
Pretty soon, my mom's, like, wrapping my hands in plastic.
Yeah. Oh, the swing set we had also had the little rings, like hand.
Oh, that you hang from?
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I would just hang from them. I would just hang from them. I couldn't do anything.
You wouldn't do like those flips?
I could do it. I could kind of do a flip, but not like, it scared me to do that.
Were you good on the monkey bars?
No.
I had like no finesse.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do them. I could get from one side to the other, but I couldn't like swing myself.
I couldn't propel myself forward. Like I would get on it and then I'd be done. I'd hang. I can't get anywhere from here. I used to get on top of them.
I'd climb up
on top of them. What I used to do with the swing, because you know, like the swing, it gets kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be inventive. And what I would do is eventually I started, like, swinging. It was really bad for the swing. But I would, like, swing in a circle. Like, rather than back and forth, I'd sort of, like, try to move it side to side.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you get going in a circle.
But it's like a reckless circle.
There's no, yeah, exactly. And then the other thing I'd do is I'd sit down in the swing and I would twist it while sitting it. So I'd
curl up the chain.
Yeah, and then release, and I'd spin.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That was fun to do, and then, like, stick your legs out, because if there's somebody next to you, then,
you kick
like,
them.
You just, whoop, bam.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like one of those action figures that has that, like, karate kick
action. Yeah,
where you pull the leg back, and you release it, and it whips back in the other direction.
That's exactly what you are when you're on that swing.
Yeah.
The swings are great. When you become an adult and you have kids that are on swings and you get to, like, push them, it actually becomes a lot of fun to like, act like they're hitting you because they love it. Like, if you stand
kids
in front
love
of them,
hitting things
they
on
do,
swings.
They do.
Yeah.
But if you stand in front of them when they're swinging and you pretend like they've kicked you or something, like, they will lose their heads. It is the funniest thing in the world to them, literally. And I would also... You can really freak them out too, because, like, you can catch them in the upswing and hold them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh my God.
Let go of me.
And then you push them out of the swing. No, I don't do that.
Onto a trampoline.
Yeah.
into a treehouse.
It's all safe.
Down a slide.
Into the pool.
It's like Mousetrap.
Dad's cleaning the... Yeah. Get out of here. I'm cleaning. Do you have any... Oh, well, the main thing to do, what people, I think everyone did on the swing, was swing as high as you could and then jump, right?
Mm-hmm. Or try to go over the bar. Never made it?
I'd never tried.
You never tried to go over the bar?
I knew what would happen. Because...
You would turn into Inside Out Kid. That's what happened.
What's that from?
It was like Nickelodeon or HBO.
Yeah.
It was like those little animated shorts.
Didn't he, like, his guts
Inside Out Kid. Yeah. He went over the bar.
Oh, wow.
And his insides were now displayed on his outside. And he would, just go to the mall and scare everybody.
No, not that. In my mind, what would happen is I was like, you can never get up enough force that you'll stay, like, rigid going all the way around. So you'll essentially get to the top and then you'll drop. That's what I visualize.
That's what happens.
Yeah. And so I never tried ever because I didn't want to die. Did you try?
I wanted to be Inside Out Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I tried, but again, that's what happens. You start to fall, and I never committed to it enough where I just went at it without any recourse. I would just swing up there. And I would feel myself start to fall.
Yeah.
And then I would, desperately grab onto the chains.
That's the thing, is you could feel it happening.
Yeah.
Like, once you got high enough just in the upswing.
Yeah.
You could feel the chain going slack.
Yeah.
And you'd drop a little bit.
And I could never do it. Like, my parents would tell me not to do it. And I could never get up enough momentum on my own.
Yeah.
To where I felt like I was close enough.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to be like... Dad, push me really, really hard. I'm going to try to go over the bar. And tempt fate.
I want to be Inside Out Kid. I want to see my spleen.
You'll see your spleen, all right. It'll go be all over the pool. I'll have to clean it.
We could talk about sort of famous backyards. And one that we talked about before recording is the Goonies.
Oh, the Goonies.
Which you mentioned it wasn't really a backyard.
It was a side yard.
But I'm going to count it.
Yeah. I mean, it functioned in the way that the backyard did.
And it had that excellent, what do they call them? Rube Goldberg machine.
Is that what they're called?
Is that what they're called?
It might be. Yes. I call it a mousetrap machine.
But he, what always confused me about that scene, the Goonies scene, where Chunk shows up and he's asking them to open the gate so he could come in.
Yeah.
And they're like, you have to do the truffle shuffle.
Come on.
Do it.
Come on.
Do it.
I love the end of that. There's that little it's like an aftershock. He finishes the truffle shuffle and then you hear this.
I don't know why I thought this as a kid, but I was like, I thought he actually had, like, if he didn't do it, it wouldn't work or something. Like, the Rube Goldberg machine wouldn't work.
If he didn't do the truffle shuffle?
Yeah, that it wasn't that they wanted to see him do this stupid dance. and make a fool of himself.
You thought the machine demanded it?
Yeah, I thought there
was a sacrifice for...
I didn't understand it, but I was like, why does he have to do that? Like, what... Like, because I was like, I don't see him tripping any wires or hitting any buttons or, like, standing on a pressure plate while he does it. And so I didn't understand the connection between that, you know, and the gate opening.
Mm-hmm.
And so it always confused me. Because all he did was he, what did he, like, at the top, he, like, did something with a shoe or he pushed the bowling ball or...
Yeah, something starts the bowling ball. Yeah. That's what does it. But yeah, it originates up at the house on the porch.
And is that is there sort of a parallel later in the movie?
Well, it's supposed to parallel the One-Eyed Willy booby traps, right?
Right.
So there's that part where they turn the triple stones, yeah. Copper bones thing.
Triple stones.
This must be copper bones.
Yeah.
We're coming up right behind you, One-Eyed Willy. And he turns the thing, and they get locked in there, and that cannonball starts rolling around.
That's
the thing.
What I was, yeah.
Well, you know, One-Eyed Willy, he was the first Goonie.
That's right. So the Goonies, that thing is a perfect example of, like, as a kid, it seemed that there was these incredible possibilities for a backyard that you could never quite, you know, accomplish or attain.
You didn't have the resources to, yeah.
And you wondered, like, where did they get the, how did they do it?
The funny thing is, like, I never, like, questioned that. You know, at no point do I ever say to myself, like, how did these kids get this stuff and make this happen? I just believed that they were, like, really resourceful and had managed to do what I could not do.
I never questioned it while I was watching.
Uh-huh.
But when I would later try to replicate it in some fashion, I was always like, how do I do it? Like, my stuff never lived up to to their stuff, you know? And that was very upsetting for me. It's the whole,
it's the
Robin Hood thing, you know, where I talked about this, didn't I?
Oh, right.
I was like, I'm going to make my own, like, hideout.
Yeah.
In Sherwood Forest hideout. I'm going to dig a hole into the side of the hill. This was in the backyard. And I'm going to leave a flap of grass, you know, so that I can just, like, hide in there and then lift the flap of grass up and no one will know, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I got out there. I just had no idea where to start, you know.
You're just, like, standing there scratching your head, holding your shovel.
Like, I had an end point in mind and I was staring at the starting point. I just didn't know how to get from A to B, you know.
I wanted desperately after that episode of ALF where he watches Gilligan's Island and he decides to build a lagoon in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
Like, he goes out and digs a hole and Willy comes out unwittingly and just wanders into the trench. And I really wanted that. I wanted a lagoon in the backyard, like with a sandy beach and everything. And I remember telling my parents this. I'm like, I want to build a lagoon in the backyard. And they're like, we have a pool. We don't need a lagoon. We have a pool.
It's not a lagoon.
Yeah, that was my argument. That's a pool. It's not a lagoon.
It all seems so doable. Like, again, like Punky Brewster's treehouse.
Her treehouse was amazing, yeah.
Like, it seemed like this
We actually saw that happen, too. Like, there's an episode where they build that treehouse.
Oh, I don't remember.
It's like Henry and whatever Cherry's mom was, or what her name was. They like built that treehouse. And the guy from the orphanage, Mike, I think was his name.
Who was he played by?
Henry?
No, Mike.
T.K. Carter.
T.K. Carter.
Yeah. And his character's name was Mike Fulton.
Hmm. They didn't live near a junkyard, did they? The treehouse is made up of stuff, right?
Yes.
I feel like there was, like, a bunch of junk in the backyard.
Well, I think there was. In the apartment complex, they had a bunch of junk back there. And they may have, like, gotten other stuff.
Repurposed it.
Yeah, yeah. Then there was that refrigerator back there, too, that Cherry locked herself in.
Yes. Ugh. Why do I remember that so vividly?
Yeah, that was a big message episode.
I was gonna bring that up, and then I thought I think I imagined that.
Oh no, that happened, and they couldn't hear her. She couldn't.
She was in there. It was like the episode was a normal episode of Punky Brewster, and at the end, they found her, and they're like, "You've been in here the whole time."
Oh, it's comical, but it wasn't like. It was like a big warning.
You
know, this is a serious issue. Don't lock yourself inside a refrigerator.
Yeah.
And I remember like thinking, when am I ever going, like, how would you fit in a fridge?
But it was
all
a problem.
Those shelves and stuff.
Right.
But it was apparently like a big deal.
Yeah. It was happening.
There's a wave of children climbing inside of, probably inspired by Indiana Jones, you know, they were all descended from, from when he did that in the 50s, remember?
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, I get
they were like, they were just going to survive a nuclear attack. Yeah. It was still the Cold War in the early 80s.
Yeah, totally. I'm trying to think of other instances of this kind of thing in movies. Well, Monster Squad, like you said.
Monster Squad had an amazing treehouse. And
Stand By Me?
There was a clubhouse. Yeah. I can't remember if it was in their backyard.
It must have been a treehouse because... Vern climbs up into it.
That's right. Yes. A pile of shit has 1,000 eyes.
All these awesome kids had, like, all these awesome, like, kid gangs had tree houses. Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
Had a tree house. Then that's where Gross had their meetings to get rid of, slimy girls.
Gleaming the Cube. Do you remember the underground thing in Gleaming the Cube?
Oh, well, you talked about it.
Yeah.
Or no, maybe I'm thinking of, is it Gleaming the Cube where it's like a bomb shelter?
Yeah.
That you wanted.
Yeah.
You wanted that.
Oh, I desperately wanted that. Yeah.
Is that in his backyard?
Yeah. Man. It wasn't in the main kid's backyard. It was in his friend's backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would like crawl down this hole and... I mean, can you think of a better place for your
bedroom?
It's
like the complete opposite of a treehouse, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
We're going down. We're not going up.
Nope.
That's just what they expect.
The Sandlot. I think there was a treehouse in the Sandlot.
There was, and there was a sequence in the Sandlot. Because they...
That's where they tell the story, right?
That's of the dog.
Yeah. The origin story of the dog.
But isn't there a sequence? I feel there must be a backyard that butted up against that guy's house. You know, they lose the ball into his yard because then they use what are those? That toy that you could do architecture with.
Oh, erector set.
They use the erector set to build like this little crane.
Spoiler alert.
Oh. Right? But they do it out of someone's backyard.
Yeah. Well, no, they do it. I thought. They do it from the treehouse. Yeah.
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 So the treehouse is right next door to the.
Well, they all lived on that cul-de-sac.
I think. Yeah.
And then the Sandlot was just beyond there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Man, see, like, and there were like 12 kids in that treehouse.
Yeah.
Spending the night.
That was a hell of a fortified treehouse. It could support the weight of those kids.
Man.
And they made s'mores.
Yeah. How can I have any if I haven't? How can I have s'more if I haven't had any yet? Oh.
It's still a bit of a magical place. I think it's the backyard starts to lose a little bit of its sheen when you have to take care of it. When you have to start mowing the lawn, it starts to become less enchanted. But I still think like we still as a culture hold it in like high regard, even as adults.
It's a gathering place.
Yeah,
as an adult, you know, it's a place to gather and to be with your friends, you know, and socialize.
Mm-hmm.
And you may have a deck out there.
Yeah.
Right. Recently, we started a garden, which has been very rewarding.
It's a good place to bury things you don't want people to find.
Yeah. You might have a shed.
A haunted shed.
In your backyard.
you might have a shed. It might be.
But yeah, you could. Well, it's great to stand around in a backyard with your friends. Uh-huh. You know, like you might have a fire, like a brazier, a brazier, a brazier,
a brazier. Yeah. A Dairy Queen in your backyard?
Or a lady's garment, undergarment, the brassiere, ladies.
Maybe you do your laundry outside.
Yeah.
Maybe you
hang it off. You could have a clothesline out there.
Yeah.
With a woman's brassiere hanging from it.
There's a certain, like, at least I've found, you have sort of a respect for people's backyards, like, people could be having parties back there,
yeah,
and like maybe they're like being rambunctious, but you don't want to interfere with that because, you know, it's their backyard.
Yeah.
You know, if they were doing that on the front yard, you might say something.
There'd
to
be
them.
More of a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. But the backyard,
they're keeping it in the backyard.
That's all right.
Well, it feels like the backyard is and can be a private area, mm-hmm. even if it's completely open.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whereas the front yard feels like a very, like,
more common
don't
ground.
Do stuff in your front yard, right? It's like, we don't, the world doesn't want to see what you're doing.
But they can see it in the backyard.
Just keep it back there.
Shh.
It's a great place. I hope that everyone has been able to enjoy a backyard at some point in their lives, because not everyone has one.
That's right. Well, or even if you don't have like your own dedicated backyard, yeah. You know, at least if there is some sort of backyard space,
yeah,
in your living environment,
please enjoy it.
Yes,
use it. Put a trampoline back there. A public trampoline.
Oh.
Why aren't there more public trampolines?
Why aren't there? Probably because of the insurance.
Could you imagine like a park that's just full of trampolines?
Where you could bounce from one to the other.
Yeah.
Oh. This should happen.
The trampoline park.
Yeah.
The trampoline. We always do that. Why do we always try to combine these things into one word?
Does the archive have a backyard?
It does. And I think you left the door open.